Hi, Mort. This is Christian.
Okay, Christian.
Question for you. I was wondering how to keep not keep my wife from bringing up the past, but how to sort of get over the hump of the damage that's been done in the past. That seems to be a continual jab that gets thrown back in my face, and it's one of those things that I've admitted my wrongdoings in the past, but I'm trying to move forward and make things right in the future, and she's kind of not having that. So there's my question.
Right. So I'll give you a multi-pronged answer. So first of all, a lot of times people, they want to punish you for the wrong that you have done. And they sometimes just need to get it out of their system. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that's advisable. I would never advise somebody, go beat up emotionally on your husband because of what he's done over the last 20 years and you'll feel better and that'll help the marriage. You probably won't feel better and it won't help the marriage. But in their mind, so whether it's consciously or not consciously, they somehow are feeling like, I've got to beat him up. I've got to lay into him. Sometimes they just feel that they got to punish you for what you've done. And they feel they have the right to do it. And somehow they feel that they should do it. And no matter how hard you are trying to heal the marriage, they feel it wouldn't be right if they conceded to a reconciliation and a healing so quickly, that you should have to pay for the wrong that you did before they concede such a healing. So that's the first thing I think to appreciate, is that it could be that for a little while, there's nothing that, I'm not going to say nothing you can do, because I'm going to give you some things you can do, but I'm going to say no matter what you do, that in the short term, she just might not let you move on from it, because inside of her, she's just got to punish you for those wrongs. And your role there, by the way, you just got to let her do it. Just let her get it out of her system. Don't fight back. Don't be defensive. Do your best to be a good listener and make sure you understand what she's saying and the hurt that you caused and the pain that she feels. Okay, so that's the first point. The second is, I'm not going to explain it so much as I'm going to kind of refer you to another section in the program. There's a section in the program, I think it's on CD 5 or 6 of the That's What I Was Going to Ask CD set, where I talk there about how to apologize effectively. And in that section of the program, I talk about how it helps to heal your spouse's hurt and to move past the past. It helps to demonstrate to your spouse your understanding of their pain. Very often you see people apologize and, they just say, I'm sorry. And when they approach the conversation, they utter those two words, and their intent in uttering those two words is really to get past the past. It's to create this healing. But it's really for themselves that they want to do that. In other words, they don't want to feel guilty. They want to be relieved of their pain. They want to be out of this pressure of the divorce. They want to clean the slate and move forward. And so they expect to utter these two magic words, I'm sorry, and that somehow that's going to clean the slate and we're going to move forward. But the problem is, again, their intent when they do that is really their own peace. Do you get that? But you see, the problem with that approach, the problem with those two words, I'm sorry, as long as they go along with that intent, which they almost always do, is that it makes you feel better. But you were the offender, not the offended. In other words, if we're going to apologize to our spouse for things that we did, for wrongs that we committed, well, who's this apology for? It's for them. It's not for us. It's not so we feel better. It's so they feel better. But if we really are honest about our apologies, more often than not, we approach them in a way that's really designed to help us feel better. And that's one of the reasons why people's apologies are so often ineffective, even counterproductive, because it's very angering and frustrating to your spouse. You did these things, they feel all this hurt, and now they feel that you're coming to them with this expectation that you're going to utter these two magic words and somehow the slate is going to be wiped clean. But those two magic words did absolutely nothing to help them heal, to help them move past that hurt and that pain. So when you issue an apology, you have to ask yourself, what is it that helps a person heal? What is it that helps a person move forward? The answer to that question is, when a person feels understood. And a person does not feel understood when you say, I'm sorry. A person feels understood when you express to them what was going on for them when you did what you did. What were they thinking? What were they feeling? What were they asking themselves? What were they wondering? What were they saying to themselves? What were they saying to their mother? What were they saying to their friend? What was going on inside their heart? You've got to really go for a long walk and think deeply from their perspective what was going on for them. And when you can get inside their heart and feel their pain, when you can get inside their head and think their thoughts, when you can get to the point where you're crying their tear, now you're ready to issue an apology. But that apology is not, I'm sorry. That apology are words that demonstrate that you do feel their pain, you do think their thoughts, and you are crying their tear. It's not easy. It's much easier for me to describe it than it is for you to do it. It's a tremendous challenge because it forces you to stay in their perspective, to see things through their eyes and to stand in their shoes. It's very hard. And it means, by the way, that you're apologizing. And check out this distinction. It's very interesting and very true. When you apologize for something, you don't apologize for what you did. You apologize for the pain you caused. People make that mistake all the time. I'm so sorry for doing such and such. That's not the point. It's not really so relevant what you did. What's relevant is how it made them feel. And if you can demonstrate that you really understand how they felt, that is therapeutic. Why? Because when a person feels understood, they feel very connected to the person that's understanding them. And that's really what a person wants, is to feel understood. Inside of each of us is a little boy or a little girl that just wants to be understood. And it's very therapeutic when a person feels understood. I think the story I like to tell, I can't remember if I told this group, that to illustrate this is, you know, as you know, I have five kids, and other, you know, except for the littlest one, they're, most of them are a little older now, 12 and 15. But, you know, when they were smaller, like the age of my youngest, you know, they'd be outside back playing, and we have this big driveway, and sometimes they would fall and scrape their knee. They'd come screaming to me, oh, daddy, daddy, you know, screaming their lungs out, tears, their head, you know, looking up into the sky. And, you know, at first, early in fatherhood, I would be like, okay, they got a problem, I got a solution. Don't worry about it, it's no big deal. Come on, we'll get some peroxide, a bandage, you'll be fine. Give me a break. And their response, oh, no, it's killing me. But I learned how to respond more effectively when these kinds of things came up. So they would come to me screaming with a bloody knee, and my response became, oh, my gosh, No! Look at all that blood. That must kill you. It's probably so scary. Do you want to go to the emergency room? How did you even walk to me? I can't believe you even walked to me. It's terrible. Are you okay? Daddy, Daddy, they would say, calm down. It's going to be fine. You know what a person wants when they're in pain? They want company. They want you to join them in their experience. And when you do that, they're healed. And in a nutshell, that's the objective of that apology discussion. And so that's the second point. And the second thing that you could do to, I think, help. The third thing I want to say is you all have to realize that ultimately the healing of past hurt is really accomplished by creating a better future. That's really true. Let me explain. When you start make the efforts that I'm describing and facilitate the interactions that create goodwill, that create connection, that create laughter, that create romance, that create involvement, then you start to create a whole new history, a whole new chapter in the relationship that's positive, that feels good. And as that history builds, as those new patterns of behavior build, it starts to kind of take over. And it starts to feel like this now is the energy between us. This now is the relationship. And all of this new energy and goodwill and positive interactions begins to trump the old stuff. And the old stuff, it just starts to feel old is really the best description. It starts to feel old. It's not that I can't remember it. I could remember everything you did to me, and I could remember all the pain that I was in, but remembering is an intellectual experience. I can remember it, but I can't feel it anymore. You know, it's like when I was 14 years old, I was wrestling with a friend in my parents' shore house, and we fell down, and I put my arm through a window. It was multiple, very bad wound. I had to go to the hospital. I got 56 stitches, 13 of them were internal. It was a very dramatic evening. My parents weren't home. They met me at the hospital. I can remember, you know, walking to the kitchen sink, putting my arm underneath the faucet, having it wipe away all the blood and the glass and, like, being shocked at what I was looking at because it looked like an animal took a bite out of my arm. And as you can tell, I remember it very well. I'm describing the details to you. I'm not going to take more of your time describing it because I could describe even more details. I remember it intellectually. And I could even describe the pain and the fear. But I got those stitches, and my arm healed, and I was even able to play in the last half of the season. And now I have total functionality. I mean, it's just you can see some scars, but totally normal. So I don't feel the hurt. I remember it, but I can't feel it. Look, the same is the case in my marriage. You have all heard me describe in this program in pretty good detail some of the excruciating pain and difficulties that my wife and I went through that resulted in us feeling a tremendous amount of anger, frustration, animosity, resentment, even hatred toward each other. I mean, I can remember being repulsed at even being too close to my wife physically. I felt repulsed being within a few feet of her, no less actually having physical contact. You all have heard me describe this kind of thing and more about a particular time in my marriage. Why can I describe it that way? I can describe it that way because I remember it. But do I look like I'm in pain? Or I know you're not with me face to face here, but do I sound like I'm in pain when I'm describing it? Do I sound like there are tears in my eyes? No, I'm not in pain. And there are no tears in my eyes because although I remember it and can describe it, I can't feel it anymore. I know it was there, but I can't feel it. Why can't I feel it? Because those feelings have been dwarfed by all of the positive energy and good feelings that we have since created. They've just been dwarfed by them. And there's just not enough room in one heart for all that goodwill and for all that anger at the same time. It just gets crowded out. And so this is one of the reasons why, I was just discussing this with my publicist this week, this is one of the reasons why I think marriage counseling sucks. It sucks because typically marriage counselors are trained to immerse you in a discussion about the problems and the past and all the, like, you know, family of origin stuff. And somehow we're, you know, we think, or they through, and it's going to result in a positive outcome. And it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. The way to heal from hurt, the way to move past the past, is to get into the future and create a whole different experience to the point, consistently enough, where that past just feels irrelevant. It feels old. It feels like the past. You see, the problem in so many marriages with the past hurt is that it's really not in the past. I mean, it is, if you look at a calendar, okay, it happened X number of months or years ago. And according to the calendar, it's in the past. But if you look into my heart, if you could download what's in my mind, it's as fresh today as it was 5, 10, 15 years ago. And you know why it's as fresh today as it was or 5, 10, 15 years ago? Because we've never really done anything in our marriage, in our situation, to create experiences and feelings and healings that would make that feel old. It would be like if I had been scratching my arm ever since I was 14 years old, the wound would still be raw. It would still be there. So that's the third point. And by the way, I went in reverse order of importance. In other words, that third point is the most important one. At the end of the day, you can let your wife get it all out of her. You can do a great apology letter and discussion. But at the end of the day, what really is going to help you move forward, heal from the hurt, move past the past, is to do what I just described.